Bring greetings to you tonight in the name of Jesus again. Thank you for coming. Good to see you here again. Appreciated the devotions that was shared. Have faith to step out. It's taken tremendous faith for Peter to do what he did. Well, I'll be telling a story each evening. This will be the last story for this week for the children, and tomorrow evening, I'm not sure what we'll do for this part of the service, but lay that before the Lord. I'd like to have a little talk of some sort. I'm not sure exactly what that'll be yet. But children, tonight I'd like to tell you about a little boy. Again, this boy's name is Steve. It's about Steve tonight. Steve was sitting at the supper table with his family, and he was frustrated. And he blurted out, and I'm not sure what was going on before at the supper table, what the discussion was. But he blurted out, he said, "No, no, 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 that's all I ever hear. If he wants to do something, to him the answer just seemed no. It's no." I don't know if you ever get frustrated. Do you think that your parents say no a lot? But Steve was frustrated at this word no. His dad was sitting there, and his dad said, "Well," he said, "Steve," he said, "from now until it's time to go to bed tonight, I am not going to say no." And Steve's mother said, "Are you sure that that is wise, dear?" Well, Steve's dad said, "Yes, yeah, from now until it's time to go to bed, I'm not going to say no." Well, Steve thought this, the whole world turned to ice cream. This is going to be fun. So after supper was over, Steve decided that he asked his dad, "Well, can I go on a walk?" His dad said, "Well," I said, "I'm not going to say no. Do you mind if I go along?" "Sure, you can go along," Steve said. So his dad was wise. His dad walked along, and it had rained, and there was a huge mud puddle. Steve, of course, he took his privilege. He went running and jumped with both feet right in the mud puddle. He got all wet and muddy. Next, he took a stick and he started running along a barbed wire fence. I don't know if you ever know what barbed wire fences are, but he just ran running along just free. The neighbor's dog came running out, and Steve began to chase the dog. And he went running and running after the dog. Now, this walk was happening as the sun was going down and it was starting to get dark. Steve went running, but all of a sudden, he stopped, and it was getting dark, and he didn't know where he was. And Steve was all alone, and he was scared. So Steve went and he hid behind a bush, and he didn't know what to do. And he looked up and he saw a man coming down the road. The man got closer and closer, and he didn't recognize the man. The man came to the bush and he said, "Steve." Steve said, "Dad, oh Dad, I'm so glad it's you." Well, you see what happened? Steve got himself in trouble. Because, well, it taught Steve a lesson. And it taught Steve a lesson that no is for our good. You know that the word no is probably one of the hardest words to say, and maybe one of the hardest words to obey. Just the two-letter word, no. Learning the word no and obeying the word no will save you from a lot of heartache to learn to listen. In most normal homes, the word no is not meant to make your life hard, but it's meant to train you and to protect you from danger. That is all for tonight in the story. We'll now look to our car stereo to lead us in our theme song, number 201 of Zion's Praises. We'll see. my prayer that that theme song is speaking to our hearts this week as well as we sing that song together. I had told you that I was planning to bring a message tonight more directly related to the youth. I'm glad you're here. It's good to see your presence with us. Certainly the message is applicable to all of us tonight. But I do have a special burden for our youth. I love you. And I still consider myself to be a youth. Some of us had a discussion about this before the service. But I'm really not a youth anymore as far as the age bracket is concerned. But I enjoy youth. In my place of work, one of the things that I get involved in is hydraulic system design. Hydraulics, you might not know what that is, but it's regarding machinery. And particularly sometimes I help with truck hydraulics. And a customer will call and they will be explaining to me what they want to do. And one of the things that I will ask them is, so what do you want to end up with? What is your goal? Because when I know what you really want to achieve, then I know what we need to do to build the system to make it what you want. That's a foundational part of this message tonight. If you forget everything else that I've said tonight, I would like for you to consider personally in your life, youth, and all of us, but particularly youth tonight, what is your goal? Who do you want to be? What do you want to become? Because what you want to become is going to determine what you do today. Now, I'm thinking, my thoughts certainly are thinking along the goals of biblical standards, is what I'm thinking tonight. The title of the sermon tonight is Youth, A Bud of Promise. A Bud of Promise. I have here some roses. I'll set them up here. Our song leader, I don't think, knew what this sermon was about tonight. But the one song was very fitting. I have here a rose bud. You can see this rose is still a bud. It is not in full bloom. You tonight, your life is just like this bud. So youth, we could say the age of youth from 13 to 24, in that age, but your life is like this bud. We could liken the stem of this rose to your life being connected to the source of nourishment. You disconnect the stem, you disconnect life from the bud. Why am I showing you this tonight? The reason I'm showing you this tonight is simply because sometimes in youth, we want to open the bud before God is ready to open the bud. If I would try tonight to bring this blossom to full bloom, and I would take these petals and I would say that I'm going to open this to a full bloom, I would fail. The petals would break. Listen, to this. The Preacher and the Rose. A young new preacher was walking with an older, more seasoned preacher in the garden one day. And feeling a bit insecure about what God had for him to do, he was inquiring of the older preacher. The older preacher walked up to a rose bush and handed the young preacher a rosebud and told him to open it without tearing off any petals. The young preacher looked in disbelief at the older preacher and was trying to figure out what a rosebud could possibly have to do with this, with his wanting to know the will of God for his life and for his ministry. Because of his high respect for the older preacher, he proceeded to try to unfold the rose while keeping every petal intact. It wasn't long before he realized how it was impossible to do so. Noticing the younger preacher's inability to unfold the rosebud while keeping it intact, the older preacher began to tell the following poem, and it's entitled Unfolding the Rosebud. It is only a tiny rosebud, a flower of God's design, but I cannot unfold the petals with these clumsy hands of mine. The secret of unfolding flowers is not known to such as I. God opens this flower so sweetly, when in my hands they fade and die. If I cannot unfold a rosebud, this flower of God's design, then how can I think I have wisdom to unfold this life of mine? So I'll trust in him for his leading. Each moment of every day, I will look to him for his guidance, each step of the pilgrim way. The pathway that lies before me, only my heavenly Father knows. I'll trust him to unfold the moments just as he unfolds the rose. Dear young ones tonight, wait on God for the pleasures of your life and for the joy that is before you and for his will to be unfolded each step of the way. You see, let's move on. And let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 27. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 27. My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyelids look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Youth, a bud of promise. Youth, tonight, God loves you. And God has a plan for your life, every one of you. God has a plan for you. It is in the critical years of youth where life patterns are formed. Our future lies before us as a vast open plain. And the choices that are made today have a huge impact on the direction of travel and the location of our destiny. I know you hear people say this, and it might fall on deaf ears, but it is true. It is true. Youth is a time of sorting out. It is a time of sorting out who one is as a person. Sorting out what one believes about what is most important in life. It's a time of seeking identity. I remember a time in my youth and growing up. I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not. Maybe this is just me. But I remember a time growing up and I thought, you know what? I'm just really weird. And maybe I am, and do people like even like me? People don't like me. I'm sure they don't. Like, well, what? really, who am I? I remember a time in my youth where I wanted people to like me. So I want them to like me, so I'm going to wear what the people that people like wear. So if I wear what the people that... What people that like people that wear what they like, I'll be liked. How does that make any sense? It doesn't really, but I think maybe you know what I'm trying to mean. But you know, I came up empty there too. Because that didn't work either. The best place to be tonight, youth, is to be right where God wants you to be and be who God made you. And not try to be something else. You know, us preachers struggle with this. We listen to other preachers who can preach really good. And we think, wow, if I could preach like that. But my wife is good for me. She says, you know, just be who you are. That's who God made you to be. Youth tonight, be who you are, who God made you to be. I mean that in the realm of, not that you're saying, no, I do not want to change for the better. That's not what I mean. But do not try to be someone who you are not. It's a time of sorting out your identity. It is a time of establishing friendships. Establishing friendships, there is great potential for good or evil in friends. It's an imperative tonight, young people, and all of us, that we choose good friends. Good friends. Sometimes I hear among us, and maybe it's not here, but I hear among us hardships in friendships. I hear among us groups. And it's almost like stonewalling each other. And you're not in that group, Baden. You're I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. Yes, there are friends who are easier to get along with. There are friends who we think more on the same level with. That's understandable. That's normal. But it is never right to be cruel and to bully other people. It is never right for that. It's a time of establishing friendships. Friends are very important in life. Good friends. And more important than, well, on the same plane, is be a good friend. Be a good friend. Next, youth. What is this time of youth is what we're talking about. This period defining youth. Definitions of youth. Youth is a time of seeking love and acceptance. It is normal. It is a normal part of life. And this process of growing up in youth, it is a normal maturing process for young ladies to desire to be sought after and for young men to desire to seek. That is normal. But our desires must come under the authority of Jesus Christ. Proper social reserve is necessary. You see, sometimes in youth, in relation to this subject, we start grabbing hold of the petals and we try to open them before time. Before time. Youth is a time of learning to exercise internal controls. What do I mean by internal controls? These internal controls are largely instilled through person or persons of your admiration. What are internal controls? So when you were growing up as a little toddler, a baby, you came into the home, your parents loved you, and they trained you. They taught you the ways of God. They said no, and they said yes. They trained you with external controls. That's how they trained you and raised you. With external controls. No, you should not do this. You must go to bed now. But now in youth, you are becoming older and becoming more responsible, more responsibility, and now the external controls are being laid aside somewhat, and the internal controls of what you have been taught are now starting to direct you in your own conscience telling you yes or no. What makes a distressing or stressful time in youth is when parents, those responsible for you, observe that the internal controls do not seem to be bringing about the desired course where you will end up at a good place. We talked about discernment the other night. If your mentor, your parent, your dad or mom, or someone else is concerned enough about you that they tap you on the shoulder and they say, you know, help me understand. What about this? I'm just concerned. You have a precious gift. Someone loves you enough that they're going to talk to you and communicate to you. It is a tremendous gift, young person. What are your internal controls? Do you have internal controls? What are your internal controls founded on? Is the question that we can ask ourselves. I'd like to move now for the rest of the message. We defined youth of what it is. I'd like to look now for the rest of the remainder of the message at blooming with purpose. Blooming with purpose. I got another rose here. You will notice, you can't see, but this stem is a lot thicker than the other one. There's a lot more strength here than the other one has. But look at the difference in the bloom. It's almost fully open. When I got these today at this store, the lady was helping me there, and I made some comment, and she said, for an illustration, she said, that sounds like a school. I said, well, actually, it's for a sermon tonight. And she said that this blossom is not quite fully open, but it's almost there. I'm preaching this message tonight because of my burden for you, that you would bloom with a full blossom. Bloom without blemish. But overall, we must understand that even if there are mistakes made, we have a God of forgiveness, a God who heals. And yes, the rose can look beautiful again. Blooming with purpose. A beautiful flower is free from disease. Young people tonight, learn to say no. There are many of a young person tonight and many of an older person tonight who have taken a shot from the devil in their young age, in their youth. And it put an injury internal in them that they bear for life. A beautiful flower is free from disease. Oh, how thankful we are for the forgiveness and healing of the Lord Jesus. Yes, forgiveness can be gotten, but the scar remains. I'd like to look at a number of points here from Proverbs, blooming with purpose. Number one, young people, I know these are going to sound really maybe just difficult, but just bear with me. Attend to the voice of wise counsel. Attend to the voice of wise counsel. Proverbs 4 and verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto mine sayings. I want to read to you Proverbs 1. You can turn there if you want to, verses 7 to 9. This is the foundation of where wisdom begins. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Young person tonight, you say, well, my father and my mother are not a good example for me. And there are situations like that. I'm well aware of that. But there are fathers and mothers in those situations who are helping you. Attend to their wisdom. Incline your ear. Tonight, if father or mother has actually, seriously, have failed you, that is not meaning that you are destined for failure yourself. That is a lie of the devil. That is not true. You can rise above, but you're going to need to fear the Lord and hearken to wise counsel. Hearken means give heed. It is the picture, I get the picture, of a deer pricking up its ears when you are shining the spotlight and they see you and they prick up their ears and they listen. The first part is charting a safe course. The first part in charting a safe course is to prick up your ears to wise direction. The second part is to choose to allow these directives to enter your heart. We hold the key. Young person, you hold the key to what enters your heart and directs you. You hold that key. Hearkening to wise counsel will result in three things, and there's a lot more. It establishes trust. It prepares you for success. And it avoids painful reaping. Oh, it doesn't mean that you will never reap anything. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is you will reap a lot less if you listen to wise counsel. Young person, your response to the direction that comes to you will have a great impact on the path your life will take. Proverbs 23 and verse 12, apply thy heart unto instruction and thine ears unto the words of knowledge. Proverbs tells us, young people, that for those who do not listen to wise counsel, they are a fool. That's what Proverbs tells us. Is a fool. Number two, blooming with purpose. keep your heart with all diligence. The word keep, the Hebrew definition or the Greek definition, no, Hebrew, sorry. Hebrew definition of the word keep is to guard, to protect, and to maintain. We are to guard our heart. We are to protect it with all diligence. The word diligent means it speaks of active defense. To hedge about as a guard on duty. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like a filter and accountability on a cell phone. That's just very simple, but that's what it sounds like to me in one aspect. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keeping our heart indicates that an individual is on one hand endeavoring to protect what he has, and on the other hand taking effort to keep out what he doesn't want to enter. Protect what you have, but keep out what you don't want to enter. It sounds like a controlling person, doesn't it? Well, yes, in this sense, we are talking about controlling person. But see, the foundation of this whole subject is that you are wanting the ways of the Lord and you're fearing the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. You're founded on Him. What are some practical virtues that require diligent keeping? I'm going to give these to you. We'll move through them fairly quickly. Some practical virtues, youth, that require diligence to keep. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We could also title these tests of youth, and they're tests to all of us. But I hear it and I see it and I observe it in youth who are not at rest with who they are. And they're seeking identity and they're seeking something. Believer's speech, number one. Protect virtue. What are some practical virtues that require diligence to keep? Believer speech. You know, it is not a smart thing to swear and to just to say bad words because it's macho. It's really not. Be an example of the believer in speech. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If the words are coming out wrong, the well's wrong. The well has an issue. Believer's speech. Speaking truth. Speaking things that are morally upright. Youth, communicate with decency. Absence of cursing and swearing. You say, I don't have a problem with that. Well, good. Wonderful. Number two, believer's conduct. There are many opportunities in life where we feel the temptation to engage in less than upright conduct. Many opportunities. There are many opportunities to engage in conduct that is sinful, that's wrong, or less. Maybe it's not sinful in itself, but it's just foolish. A heart that is turned toward God and fearing Him will sound an alarm through the voice of our conscience if we are about to cross that line. And youth is a time when the quest for pleasure runs very high. Pleasure, enjoyment, self-satisfaction and gratification. It runs, those pressures run very high. Believer's conduct. It is not smart to be foolish. Number three, the believer's love. Youth, love the brotherhood. Love your family. Love your neighbors. Love with God-honoring, godly love. I challenge you to think of the depth of your love for others. Or is your love a self-love? Be an example of the believer in love. More we could say on that. Move on to believer spirit. Oh, your spirit. Are you of a happy disposition? Beware of bad attitudes. Bad attitudes lead to more bad attitudes. Ability is what you're capable of doing. Motivation determines what you do, and attitude determines how well you do it. How well you do it. Have a good attitude. It is very difficult to have a good attitude when drinking out of the slop pail. It's very hard to have a good attitude. When you know that you've been into things that are wrong, you crossed that line. You stepped over your conscience and you crossed that line and you dipped into the slop pail. It's hard to have a good attitude after that. It's much easier to have a good attitude if you're drinking a cup of cold water. Drink from the fountain of cold water. Number 5, believer's faith. Faith in the promises of God, trusting God in the good and bad times. Yes, I was disappointed in one thing with these roses when I got them, because these roses do not have thorns. I kind of think they cut them off. You ladies probably know, but it seems like they cut them off. But roses normally have thorns. There's some parts in our life that are not as pleasant and not as pretty. Parts that hurt. Trust God in the good and bad times. Proverbs 4, verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. To me this speaks of steadfast and firm resolve. I will not. I remember as a youth, I had music that was not according to church standards. I had a friend that did too, and I distinctly remember the night where he said, you know, Dave, he said, we're really not supposed to have this music. He said, I'm getting rid of mine. And it took me a little while, but I got rid of mine too, eventually. Young person, stand up. Stand up. You do not have to go along with what you know is less than what it should be. And you will find when you stand, the courage of you standing will strengthen someone else to stand too. We need you to stand. God needs you to stand on truth. It is where blessing is found. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Number 6, believer's purity. Be thou an example of the believer in moral purity. Say no to the lust of the flesh that war against your soul. Beware the tactics of the devil in his attempt to destroy what God has designed as good. The passions that you feel, they are right and proper. God gave them, but they must come under the Holy Spirit's direction and be kept under. Do not open the bud. before God, standards are met. Our feet will go where our mind has been. We could also say today in today's world, our fingers will go where our mind has been. Our fingers on our phone will go where our mind has been. Use the gifts that God has given you for the for His glory and not for selfish indulgence. Say no to the things of moral decay. And oh, it's running rampant today. We need to follow the example of Joseph. When tempted by Potiphar's wife, he fled and left his coat behind. Guard your heart and hearken to the voice of wise counsel. Praise God that forgiveness can be found if there is failure, and there a new course can be charted, and deliverance can be found. Praise God for that. Ponder your path tonight. Youth, ponder your path. Ponder means to weigh mentally. Think about your life. The proper writer is asking us to consider our path, the road of life we are traveling. Consider it, ponder it, think about it. If I continue on the direction I am going, will I arrive at where I intend to be? Oh, you've heard that a lot before. I know of a young man tonight who's living a life for himself. Young people, there are To think that we can indulge and that sometime we'll turn around, it's always out there, it seems, that sometime. God bless you all for your faithfulness. We're not all perfect. We strive to be perfect. Us pastors, we're not perfect individuals. We strive to do the will of God. And when we fail, we must... You know what is worse than a failure? Worse than a failure is someone who refuses to get up again and to continue walking with the strength of the Lord. You know, God ponders too. Proverbs 5:21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. God knows. God knows. Well, thank you for your kind attention. Youth tonight, the church of tomorrow depends on you today. Yes, we depend on Jesus. We depend on God. We do. But will there be faithful? Will there be a faithful line that continues because you have chosen that you're going to be faithful and you're going to say no to the things of the world and you're going to be wise and follow God? We'll sing an invitation song tonight. If God is speaking to your heart in anything, stand to your feet, raise your hand till I recognize you. We'll meet with you after the service. What shall we sing?